Treasures of wisdom, 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 treasures of wisdom.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habiballah, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Marhaba, welcome once again, dear viewers of Madani Channel. You are watching the program called Treasures of Wisdom. Thumma Alhamdulillah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our sustainer, provider, cherisher and nourisher, the master of the day of judgment, the owner, initiator and creator of everything that exists. Alhamdulillah, we send peace and blessings upon his illustrious family and noble companions, alayhi muridwan. I am with our honorable Mawlana Abdul Qadir Attari Ansari, Damat Barakatuhumul Aliyah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And together with our honorable guest for this afternoon, we are going to dive into the subject and discussion related to a very great leading jurist of Islam by the name of Imam A'zam Abu Hanifa, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. Subhanallah, who needs no introduction, dear viewers. He is the Imam of millions of Hanafis throughout the globe, subhanallah, and we are Hanafis as well, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Therefore, inshallah, Zawajalla, dedicating this program to the great Imam of his time, inshallah, Zawajalla, we will seek blessings and barakah through discussing his Mubarak and blessed biography with our honorable Mawlana Abdul Qadir Sahib, inshallah, Azzawajal. We have a kalam as well, and the kalam, of course, is a nasiha and an advice to the masses out there with regards to how should we live in this world as Muslims? Allahu Akbar, koi gul baqi rahega. Nothing will remain in this world, dear viewers of Madani Channel. And we also have Madani Pearls for the viewers of Madani Channel as we go along in our program. Anyways, if we get started with our discussion, subhanallah, we are speaking about Hazrat Sayyidina Imam A'zam Abu Hanifa, known as Abu Hanifa Mawlana Sahib, whereas a lot of people do not know the actual name of the great Imam of his time, inshallah. Zawajalla, if Mawlana Sahib can perhaps shed some light with regards to the actual name of the great Imam himself.
Alhamdulillah. His kunya is Abu Hanifa, and his name is actually Nu'man. And his title is Imam Azam, subhanallah. And generally, we refer to him as Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. And then the name usually gets left out, subhanallah. He became so famous by the greatest imam, subhanallah, of all the jurisprudence imams that have existed, mashallah. And he's been the leader of all those imams, and he's been a direct or indirect teacher of all the jurists of Islam and all the muhaddiseen that have passed. Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. It is said, Masab, there are three blessed generations, right? The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the blessed hadith mentioned about the era of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the era thereafter and the era that comes after, yani the tabi'i tabi'in. Which category of these three does Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala fall into, Mulana Sahib?
Alhamdulillah, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, he falls under the category of being a tabi'i. And him being a tabi'i in such a way that he has seen not one, not two, but four sahaba of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those sahaba, their names are mentioned to be Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Awfa, Sayyidina Sahl bin Saadi, and Sayyidina Abu Tufail Amir bin Wasila, subhanallah. These are the sahaba ikram alayhi muridwan that Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi met, and therefore he is alhamdulillah established as a tabi'i of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah. Is it true, Mawlana Sahib, that Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala was a student of Imam Jafar al-Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala?
Alhamdulillah. He was a proud student of Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And amongst the colleagues that Imam Azam rahmatullahi alayhi had, In being the students now, the common feature of all of them being students of this great Imam of Ahlul Bayt, Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, among them was Sayyidina Sufyan bin Uyayna radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyidina Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, Imam Musa Kazim being Allah, one of the students, subhanallah.
Great personality.
So they are like classmates and the colleagues, subhanallah, Allah. And the contemporaries. Actually, Imam Malik rahmatullahi, his time is slightly after Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, but they all are the students of Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi.
Any saying of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa with regards to Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi alayhi?
Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Imam Azam held him in such high esteem. Remember, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, he's from Iraq. And Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi alayhi, he's in Medina Sharif, subhanAllah, and both are tabi'is. So he says that when he came, he actually took the mentorship of Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and he regards him as one of his highest teachers that Allah actually safeguarded him, subhanAllah. He is not only a teacher, but a great mentor of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. He says very famous qawl of his is, Lawla sanatan lahalaka nu'man, that if it wasn't for the 2 years that he spent in the company of Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala, nu'man meaning referring to himself, would have been destroyed. So yes, he actually held it so dear, the 2 years that he spent in the company of Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq. And he also says about the jurisprudence and the knowledge of Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah alayhi, that I have never seen anyone more equipped with the knowledge of Sharia and jurisprudence than Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah alayhi.
Subhanallah. Further on, Mu'asab, what's amazing to learn is the fact that Imam Azam Abu Hanifa himself rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi had more than 4,000, approximately 4,000 asatiza, 4,000 teachers. This is more than any other imam of jurisprudence. Allahu Akbar. Yani Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, all the other imams that are also there, he has the most amount of students as well, Mullah Sahib. Can Mullah Sahib mention a few of his students that subhanAllah the world speaks about today, and the names maybe have been mentioned in the books, Mullah Sahib?
Gee, alhamdulillah. The names we usually find in the books of fiqh, usulul fiqh, are those names which I can, is fresh in our minds, alhamdulillah, because we studied the same books, and such as when you open the manuscript of Hanafi fiqh al-hidayah or sharhul wiqayah, and you often find the references of these great students of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, such as Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Imam Zufar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and there are many more students. Imam Dawood Tai rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, yes, he is also one of the students of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. And there are many other students. These are some of those that are often mentioned in the books of fiqh, in the books of ahadith, and so on, alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers of Madinah channel, we are discussing and speaking about that great imam of his time, regarding whom Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala states, anyone or everyone, subhanallah, who wants to gain expertise in jurisprudence is dependent upon Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then he says, others added that Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is the garden of Islamic law. Allahu Akbar. He is the garden of Islamic law. Jurist and non-jurist alike are in need of this great imam, subhanallah. Wasa, what is the reason behind this, being the first imam and the greatest imam, even in terms of age, the first imam, subhanallah. And yes, there were many discussions that taken place on Madani channel with regards to the great imam. But today, mashallah, Zawajalla, today in the company of our honorable Mawlana Sahib, we are exploring the blessed life of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. And there are so many aspects related to his life, Wasa. Knowledge is one. On the other hand, his taqwa and piety is another, subhanallah, his worship and fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and then his services to the deen, his student life, his old age, subhanallah, all these different aspects, Mu'asab, can you encapsulate, mashallah, and give us some Madani pearls from them?
Alhamdulillah, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was a very keen learner, and when his ustad spotted him, subhanallah, Sayyidina Hamad rahmatullahi ta'ala, when he spotted him, he became his favorite student, subhanallah.
Acha.
And Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, prior to becoming a great faqih, he used to be a merchant. Allah. And only a wali, as you know, as we say, wali ra wali mishan asim. So only a wali can spot another wali, subhanallah. So the brightness of this great nobility was shining on his face, and that's how the ustaz came to know about the greatness of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi ta'ala, and he encouraged him to come and learn about the sharia and the fiqh of Islam, subhanallah. And in this way, Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi pursued on this path, subhanallah. And being such a brilliant mind and such an intelligent person, subhanallah, about whom Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala proudly says that, you know, if this pillar here, if Imam Azam Abu Hanifa wanted to prove this pillar is made of gold, you would have no option but to believe him that it is made of gold, and he would prove it to you, subhanallah. So yes, such a an intelligence, subhanallah.
Was he a debater as well, Mohsen?
Yes, he was a debater. Yes, alhamdulillah. From the very childhood aspect of his life, him being a very sharp thinker, very prompt response he would have to any of the most intricate questions if somebody asked. Like, for example, if someone asked him with regards to the divine existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would have given such responses that are recorded in the history and the biography of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala.
Amazing.
That leaves you astounded, subhanallah. When it comes to divine recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has guided thousands upon thousands, subhanallah. And they have, alhamdulillah, found guidance through Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala. And many non-believers, they have found guidance on the hands of Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And he is a multi-dimensional personality who has been the teacher and the guide and the mentor of not only the ordinary people, but extraordinary people as well, such as all the a'imma of fiqh. I mean, his time is before all the other a'imma, the four schools of thought I'm speaking of, that he was the first one, subhanallah, in terms of being senior and closer to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, he was born in the year 80 Hijri, as opposed to Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala. If we look at the chronological order of things, and then after him comes the zamana and the time of Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala. Then comes the time of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala, and right in the end is Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi.
Though Munasab, you mentioned the order of these a'imma kiram subhanallah and their services, right before Munasab mentions that, I also want to add, Munasab, that Allah azza wa jalla granted such special acceptance to his school of thought,
subhanallah,
and to the Hanafi school of thought, making it the largest school of thought in the world, Munasab. In fact, no. Imam Ali Al-Qari rahmatullahi ta'ala has stated that 2/3 of the Muslim population adhere to his school of thought, Mu'asab.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Something that amazes the mind, that subhanallah, 2/3 of the Muslim population globally follow the school of thought of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, making this the largest Qurana sahih.
Subhanallah. Just like, just for the sake of comparison, to give it a little bit of contrast, relevance, is if we look at the ratio, 2/3, meaning it amounts to like 33% plus minus.
Okay, all right.
33% of others, whereas 66% is occupied by the Hanafis, subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar.
So the comparison between 66% and 33%. Now, to look at it in contrast, let's say the entire world. Right? And we all know scientific fact, geography, we read that this is the basics, that the 2/3 of the world is covered with water.
Allah, Allah.
Only
Allah,
1/3
Allah,
is
Allah,
the
Allah,
space
Allah.
And the dry land where people are inhabited.
Allahu
the trees
Akbar, Allahu
are,
Akbar.
And so on and so forth. So yes, so alhamdulillah, the followers of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa are like the ocean in comparison
Allahu
to the world,
Akbar.
Subhanallah. So yes,
maybe we sacrifice Mu'asab at his, you know, at his ilm and his expertise and his andaz, his style is unique, subhanallah. Dear viewers of Badini channel, we are speaking about the greatest imam of fiqh, subhanallah, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. We assume that to become an imam is an easy thing. This is not the imam
with regards to the imamat of any musalla, Allahu Akbar. The next question to Mu'asab with regards to why they are known as imam, of course, being a leader, peshwa, our rehnuma, our guide, subhanallah. What it entails to become an imam, Mawlana Sahib? For many people out there who don't know, and maybe this imam that they assume could be the normal imam of any masjid, for example. The title of imamat which befits their heads, mashallah, subhanallah, based on how the proximity that they had attained in the barakah of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the acceptance they have got globally, subhanallah. Subhanallah. What it entails to become a mujtahid fil fiqh, to do ijtihad in this department, in this field of Islam. What type of knowledge a person should acquire in order to become an imam?
Subhanallah. Being an imam of fiqh, mujtahid, and here mujtahid, there have been many types of mujtahid, mujtahid mutlaq, mujtahid fil madhab, and so on and so forth. And it has been categorized. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khanaimi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he mentions it. And mujtahid mutlaq, meaning the absolute mujtahid, subhanallah, now who has the highest authority in the field of ijtihad.
That is
what we are speaking of. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he was the mujtahid mutlaq. Just as Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, was, just as Imam Malik, rahmatullahi ta'ala, was, just as Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was. And then the students of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Imam Muhammad, Imam Abu Yusuf, they were mujtahid fil masail, meaning they would do ijtihad in the masail. They would deduce the masail using the same principle that was laid down by Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. So they were followers of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa in terms of the usul and the principles of deducing the masail from the Quran, the hadith, the ijma and qiyas, subhanallah. And they would use the principles of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. In that regard, they were followers. But when it came to masail, of deducing the masail from using the same principle of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, then they were mujtahid fil masail, subhanAllah. And later on, this is how the category goes on. An imam of jurisprudence, he has to be well-versed in many sciences. And he must be an expert of the Holy Quran, first of all. Of all the usul arba, expert of the Holy Quran to an extent that he must know all the verses of the Holy Quran that are pertaining to the laws of jurisprudence on his fingertips. And all the ahadith of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are pertaining to the jurisprudence and the laws and the masail and the ma'amalat of people. That also must be on their fingertips. It mustn't be the case that they have to now find the hadith. They must know the hadith, those relevant hadith, those Quranic verses.
Approximately, and then, how many hundreds of hadith or thousands of hadith should an imam have to be a mujtahid in this department?
There have been many, alhamdulillah, that are quoted. But the yardstick that is used is that usually there are over 500 verses in the Holy Quran that pertain to only fiqhi masail. And there are over 3,000 ahadith of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are pertaining to the fiqhi masail. And alhamdulillah, and they had known way more than that, subhanallah.
Yani the one who knows so many ahadith and sayings and teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by heart, yani over hundreds of thousands of ahadith, Mawlana Sahib. And Allah Azza wa Jalla had given them such a brilliant ability of memorization that subhanallah, the intellectual abilities is beyond our imagination. How they would absorb and remember those narrations and ahadith, and how strict they were in this department. Yani hum abhi ilmi baat kar rahe muasab. Isse agar hum hate aur hum dusra pehlu dekhein, he is a beacon of piety, taqwa, worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, guiding people towards righteousness. ہم اسے یہ اندازہ لگا لیں کہ سبحان اللہ, یو نو ان ہز فقہ اٹ از اف اے پرسن آفٹر تشہد دیٹ واز سپوز ٹو پرہیپس اسٹینڈ فار دا تھرڈ رکعت فار ایگزامپل اینڈ دا پرسن دا ون آفرنگ صلاہ مسٹیکنلی دین ریسائٹس درود پاک اللہم صلی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ان تشہد ان التحیات پوزیشن ان صلاہ When a person is sitting in jalsa, for example, he was supposed to erect and stand for the third rakaat. But usne second rakaat hi mein durud-e-paak padh li, yani khade hone se pehle uske muh se durud-e-paak nikli. The answer to this in the fiqhi masala is, Hanafi masala is that a person will then have to make sajda-e-sahu. Allahu Akbar. He will have to make sajda-e-sahu at the end of his salah before he terminates his namaz in order to make up for the mistake he had made. What was the mistake? That he mistakenly recited durud-e-paak. before he could stand for the third rakat. Phir jab yaad aaya to banda khada ho gaya. So it is said that he had a dream in which the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had blessed him, subhanallah, and asked subhanallah. Him that why did you make sajda sahu wajib in your madhab, in your school of thought, yet the person recites durood upon me?
Yes.
And you made sajda sahu wajib upon such a person, the one who recites durood upon me mistakenly, forgetfully. So upon this, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, look at the levels of his ishq, his muhabba, and love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, but I would not tolerate anyone reciting durood pak upon you forgetfully. Allahu Akbar. Wo anjaane mein durood na pade, wo bhool ke kya na pade. A person should not forgetfully, by the way, just recite durood pak. When he recites salawat upon you, he should recite with his heart and with his mind. Whilst they both are present at the same time when he's reciting durood pak. So therefore, I have made it wajib upon that person to make sajda sahu, because why? His mind was not present over there at that moment. Therefore, he recited sallallahu ala Muhammad. And then when he remembers that he was supposed to stand, then he will stand for the third rakat. So isse hum ye andaza laga le ki what was the level of his ishq and muhabba for the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Imam Shafi rahimahullah, he often used to say, annasu ayalu abi hanifata fil fiqh. That people are children of Imam Azam when it comes to fiqh.
Allahu
subhanallah. So yes, he is like the father figure when it comes to Islamic law and the jurisprudence, Allah, subhanallah.
So you can say directly and indirectly, all other schools of thought and their students are directly and indirectly the students of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa.
Alhamdulillah, yes. They are all the fuqaha and the muhaddisin, especially muhaddisin as well. Because Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, he knew a lot of ahadith, subhanallah. And some of the ahadith, because we have just learned that he met four sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So imagine, usually when we read hadith, we read sometimes it is mu'an'an, sometimes there is two people in the chain, sometimes there is three sulasi in the chain, right? And Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, if he had heard the hadith from these four sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would just say that I met this sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who told me that the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me this.
Kya baat, directly subhanallah. Yani yes. No third person be involved in between. Yeah. Allahu Akbar.
And the authenticity of the hadith is based upon the chain. And the chain only gets weakened sometimes when there are too many people in the chain and one of them happens to have weak memory or some flaws in their personality based on which the hadith is categorized as other than being sahih. So, but here, but there is one principle that al-ashab kulluhum adul, that all the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are free from making that kind of mistake. They are all pious, subhanallah. There is an agreement of all the a'imma that in the whole chain, they can criticize any narrator there besides a sahabi who's narrating this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if the hadith is narrated by Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, alhamdulillah, who's the leader of the pious, and the hadith is now narrated directly to him by the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So is there any shadow of doubt there, subhanallah?
Can't be, ma'asab. So, impossible, subhanallah. Definitely, yani ki, there can never be a doubt of shadow, ma'asab. However, so this means he is from the second generation, from amongst the three major generations, the generation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the era thereafter, and the era after the Tabi'i, which is the Tabi'i era. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala is from the second era, yani the Tabi'in's era, subhanallah. As Masab mentioned, he met with great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he directly narrates ahadith from them, subhanallah. This is just one aspect of the great Imam's life, dear viewers of Madani channel. Alhamdulillah, aside from this, as we said, he is a wali, subhanallah, a great personality. Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed him with kashf, with the powerful insight that he would be able to see things which ordinary people cannot even see. It is stated that he even made dua in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jalla for that ability to be taken away, for he would witness the sins of people dripping from the ablution water of their body parts. So if a person had washed his body limbs, body parts in ablution during the time of wudu, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala would see the sins of that person that he had committed in the water dripping from his body. this ability and this type of scanning can't be done even with machines of today, dear friends of Madani Channel. Allah blessed his eyes with that ability and power. But they were not people that would find faults in people. They were not such people of Allah Azza wa Jalla that would like to cause problems for people. Rather, when he realized that Allah has blessed me with this ability to see the faults of people, to see the sins of people, he supplicates in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla for this ability to be taken away. Allahu Akbar. For Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala is a great worshipper at the same time. What's amazing to learn and to know is that where would they even find the time in the day or night to perform all these various types of worships when they would be busy day and night producing students, Mawlana Sahib. There are people who even witness the schedule of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa from morning to evening. And it is said that he will have halkas in the masjid, dars in the masajid, teaching students and then saying to the family and then saying to the people. And he would, allow for people to come and ask questions. And then when he goes home, it is said that he completes one Quran in the morning, one Quran in the night. Allahu Akbar. How is this possible, Mawlana Sahib?
Mawlana Sahib, when Allah Azza wa Jal bestowed someone with his beautiful favors, then everything is possible.
Subhanallah.
Somebody, when they ask the question to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, in Malfuzat Sharif it is mentioned, that how come Sayyidina Ghawse Pak Rahmatullah Ali, he would accept the da'wat of so many places and he would be present there all at all these places at one time, subhanallah. How is that possible? So he said, well, I can give you a few examples. He said, you go in a house of mirrors, Sheesh Mahal, and there are mirrors pointed at you at different angles. You stand in the middle of that room and your reflection is there present everywhere.
Right.
There's only one of you that should answer the question. And the point of concentration where, how can it happen at the same time? So he said, he revealed a secret actually, that, time, actually there is no such thing as time. It is that Allah Azza wa Jal has restricted us within this confines of time. So we don't know any other concept but in terms of times.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
And when Allah Azza wa Jal bestowed someone with the favors and he removes this limitation of time, subhanallah, then sky is the limit, subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Kya baat hai Madine ki. So the one who makes time for Allah Azza wa Jalla's ibadat, for his worship, Allah Kareem makes the time obedient to him. In other words, Mawlana Sahib, I mean, where would Mawla Ali radiallahu anhu get the time to recite one Quran when he places his first leg in the first stirrup of the horse? And by the time he places the second leg in the second stirrup, one Quran is completed.
Yeah.
This is the shan of Mawla Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, dear viewers of Madani Channel. Someone may ask, how is it possible to recite the Quran so quick? This is beyond our imagination. It's beyond our comprehension. Hum soch bhi nahi sakte ki kaisa ho sakta hai. Lekin, those people who are the beloveds of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah Kareem makes the time for them in such a way, yani he makes the time, he expands time for them in such a way that they are able to complete such tasks within limited time.
Subhanallah.
Because time is also the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Ye bhi to makhlooq hai. Chahe din ho, ghante ho, minute ho, second ho, hafte ho, mahine ho, saal ho, all these are the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Like how Allah Azza wa Jalla could remove the quality of the fire to burn. For Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, the thing that burns doesn't burn Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. How is it possible? Because Allah creates fire and He removes the quality of fire. Jalani ki jo quality tumhare andar hai, us waqt ke liye Allah azza wa jalla ne use le liya. And this was possible for the fire not to burn Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, but to become cool as a garden for him. As the Quran says, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Likewise, Mu'asab, the sand and the mitti, anything goes into the sand, the job of soil is to consume, Mawlana Sahib. Jo kuch zameen mein jayegi, it can never be fresh. But the very same land, the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, Allah has said, He has made it forbidden upon the earth to consume the bodies of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. So that which consumes should do its work, except for when Allah says, hey, do not do so. Because why? The friends of Allah Azza wa Jalla are resting here. Allah Azza wa Jalla will remove the quality. So likewise, dear viewers of Madani channel, time and waqt all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah Azza wa Jalla likes a banda, subhanallah, then he expands the time for such a person to carry out much more tasks within limited times, limited space, subhanallah. When Allah Azza wa Jalla can take his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within a short span of the time, wasab, to La Makkah and come back, and aaj tak 1400 saal mein dunya samajh hi nahi pa rahi ki kaise hua hai. This is because subhanallazi asara. You know, glory be to him, yani Allah Azza wa Jalla, who is the creator of everything in this universe. He has taken his bondsman. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla can do this, then anything is possible, dear viewers. Have your tawakkul and your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make dua through the wasila of this great Imam, Imam A'zam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and see how these pious people had led their lives, how these pious predecessors had tolerance, perseverance, how they were the embodiments of the sunnahs of beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People came into the force of Islam not only through their debates and through their knowledge and through their bayans and through their emotional lectures and academic speeches. No, people also came into the force of Islam looking at their akhlaq, looking at their character, looking at their unique way. Allahu Akbar. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala was such an aesthetic person. Can Mawasab perhaps narrate the famous and the beautiful story about business and the defects of material that was not mentioned?
Alhamdulillah. We learn, alhamdulillah, the importance of honesty from the lessons of fiqh that are taught and alhamdulillah have come down to us from the time of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala. His teaching, subhanallah. But he doesn't only teach in his words, but he teaches with his actions, subhanallah. So with the tongue, he is propagating the sunnah of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and with his actions, he is also practically guiding us as to how it's done. So he had a business partner and he said to him, and he gave him his goods, his commodities that are to be sold, clothing. And he told him that when you are selling these clothings, there are some defects in them. Make the buyer aware of it before you sell it to them, so they know what they are buying. And after a while, when the person now sold the garments, then he remembered, ooh, I forgot. I never told the buyers that the clothing had defect. In marketplaces, you don't know people where they come from which further towns that they are coming from. So there's hardly any way to get back to the customer once the goods are sold. And it wasn't the zamana of data capturing, like how, you know, you do go now, you swipe your card, all your personal details, they reflect there, so they can track you later on. That wasn't the zamana of, you know, electronic media where they store all your details, your address and so on. So, alhamdulillah, it happened in such a way. So he said to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi that I made a mistake and I forgot to tell the buyers that the clothing that I sold to them, they had defects. So Imam Azam Abu Hanifa then said that then I would take all of this money and would make it hiba, mean give it in sadaqah and charity, subhanallah. And he did the exact same. He took all the money, all the profit that was, all the proceeds that came from that sale, and he gave it all in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there was a doubt in it. And he would not stand to consume something that is doubtful. And today we see people gobbling even haram. They don't even look at what's halal and what haram, let alone doubtful. Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Maulana sahib, hum qurban jaye unki shan pe, unki status pe. Look at the maqam of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala. This mindset comes from where, dear viewers? Comes from where? From the teachings of Islam. And therefore, subhanallah, it is mentioned that the academic genealogies of all jurists, fuqaha, and hadith scholars of Islam, yani muhaddithin, the fuqaha ikram and muhaddithin ikram, link back to the great Imam, making them his direct or indirect students. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Yani, the Hanafi school of thought, dear viewers of Madani channel, was able to bring Islam and to flourish in lands which No other school of thought could reach Mulana Sahib. This is the maqam of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa and the sincerity behind his teachings and his actions, Allahu Akbar, and the efforts that he put in. I was speaking about Pakistan, India, Turkey, and so many other places in the world where at that time, Mulana Sahib, you know, it did not reach there, but the Hanafi school of thought had reached there because of producing so many students throughout the globe. So this is really an amazing thing, subhanallah, which none of us could even imagine. So alhamdulillah, we have a kalam for the viewers of Madini channel. And I mentioned in the very beginning, it's a nasiha and advice. Koi gul baki na rahega. Allahu Akbar, everything will come to an end. However, inshallah, we have this kalam for the viewers to listen. And please do not leave us. Be with us until the end of the program. We will be back just in a moment. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Koi gul baki rahega, na chaman reh jayega. Koi gul baki rahega, na chaman reh jayega. Par Rasoolullah ka deene hasan reh jayega. Par Rasoolullah ka deene hasan reh jayega. Hum safiron baag mein hai koi dam ka chehcha. Hum safiron baag mein hai koi dam ka chehcha. Bulbulein ud jayengi, suna chaman reh jayega. Bulbulein ud jayengi, suna chaman reh jayega. Atlas o kam khab ki poshak par nazan ho. Atlas o kam khab ki poshak par nazan ho. Is tane be jaan par khaki kafan reh jayega. Is tane be jaan par khaki kafan reh jayega. Naam e shahane jahan mit jayenge lekin jahan naam e shahane jahan mit jayenge lekin yahan hashr tak namo nishane banjatan reh jayega. Hashr tak namo nishane banjatan reh jayega. Jo padhega sahibe laulak ke upar durood. Jo padhega sahibe laulak ke upar durood. آگ سے محفوظ اس کا تن بدل رہ جائے گا, آگ سے محفوظ اس کا تن بدل رہ جائے گا, سب فنا ہو جائیں گے کافی ولیکن حشر تک, سب فنا ہو جائیں گے کافی ولیکن حشر تک نعت حضرت کا زبانوں پر سخن رہ جائے گا, نعت حضرت کا زبانوں پر سخن رہ جائے گا, کوئی گل باقی رہے گا چمن رہ جائے گا, پر رسول اللہ کا دین حسن رہ جائے گا.
کیا بات ہے مدینے کی, اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر. This is the reality and the truth of this world, dear viewers of Madani Channel. Kullu man alayha fan wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram. Everything in this world will come to an end. What remains behind, what do we leave behind, dear viewers of Madani Channel, is everything that we fight for and we cry for in today's day and age. These great imams, these pious predecessors, subhanallah, left nothing in this world, so to say, in terms of wealth and monetary gain, properties, lands, paisa, jaidat. They never lived for it. They never intended to ever achieve it. Rather, the world and the wealth will run behind them, subhanallah, because they have left everything for the pleasure and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we make dua that if we are Hanafi followers, to take from the blessed life of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, we follow his fiqh, the jurisprudence of fiqh, yes, his school of thought in terms of fiqh matters, we follow his school of thought. But what about his spiritualism? What about his taqwa and piety? How did he gain that? Don't we want to imitate him as well, subhanallah? Don't we wish and desire to be like him? Allahu Akbar. If we make this niyat and intention that, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant me the ability and tawfiq to get closer to the imam of his time, inshallah, zawajalla, so that we could get his barakat and faizan, inshallah, zawajalla. Maulana Sahib, the next question and the last question just before we terminate. I know, Maulana Sahib, time is so short and 5 to 7 minutes can never do justice to these questions which I'm going to ask, but maybe Maulana Sahib can capsulate it in his own words. The important thing is that how is imam of his time, yani Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, as a teacher? Can you explain to the viewers of Madani Channel with regards to him as a teacher, inshallah?
Subhanallah. I would explain in a manner that was explained to us by a great imam who had greater imams as his teachers. Subhanallah. And he says, you put those great imams, and he had 1,000 teachers. He said, you put those 1,000 teachers one side, and Imam Azam on one side. Subhanallah. And Imam Azam was more and moreover better and more excellent than 1,000 teachers put aside.
Allah.
One over 1,000. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. And to explain that, another great Imam, subhanallah, he says, Sayyidina Ali ibn Asim, that if the intelligence of half of the people of this globe was to put on one side, and it was compared to the intelligence of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi alone, his intelligence would still win. Subhanallah. And Imam Shafi rahimahullah, he says, regarding the brilliance and the intelligence of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, that there is none more intelligent than Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. And another great scholar of Islam, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, that about the greatness and the intelligence of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, that he has not seen anyone more intelligent than Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah.
Who says this once again?
Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, who was also one of the great imams, subhanallah. And this is what the greats of the greats have to say about Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. And when it comes to the intelligence and the prompt response of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, he would just solve any matter just in a split second. Quick thinker. He would.
Can you give us one example of that, Muhammad?
Just off the hat, he will give you the solution of the problem that you maybe spent nights and sleepless nights that you couldn't come across a solution. Mm. And within 1 second, he'll give you the solution. Subhanallah. You know what? Not a problem. He's sorted. And one such incident is where the two parties, husband and wife, they had an argument, and husband says to the wife that I swear an oath of Allah, qasam, that I will not speak to you until you speak to me first. The wife also went in jalal, I'm no less, I will not speak to you, I take qasam that I will not speak to you until you speak to me first. Now there's a dilemma. Now if anyone now speaks to each other, they think that their qasam will be broken.
Allah, Allah.
They come to the court of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and he says to them, no, go, your qasam won't be broken. It's resolved. You can talk to each other, no problem. You can go. And when they go and narrate this to a great imam of the time, he comes to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, and he says to him, is this how you are allowing people to do haram? To do wrong things? He said, no, I haven't done any such thing. He said, then what is it? That if the husband had sworn an oath that I will not talk to you until you talk to me first, and wife also said the same thing, then how can you just let them go? And you say, no, your qasam is not broken, it's fine, you can talk to each other. He said, well, when the husband said, I will not talk to you until you talk to me first, when the wife swore the oath, she already spoken to him.
Allahu Akbar. That was already communication. Yes,
Subhanallah. Right. So it's null and void.
Allah.
And then that Imam says that the points and the wise thoughts that come to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, our intellect can't even reach there.
Allah.
Subhanallah. The one who came to criticize Imam Azam, he left his court praising him to such an extent. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. And like this, Masab, there are dozens of examples, I'm sure.
Subhanallah.
Am I right?
Yes, yes, there are, alhamdulillah.
Numerous examples. Yes. How many people's marriages were saved?
Yes.
Allahu Akbar, such that Dear Viewers of Madinah channel is just amazing, and it's Allah's blessing upon the Ummah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that subhanallah, we have Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala amongst us, subhanallah, as our Imam, as our guide, as our leader. So develop muhabba and love for him, remember him. You can also send Ithali Thawab, make dua, and make dua for yourself through his wasila, inshallah. Zawajalla, his faizan and blessings will most definitely reach you, inshallah, zawajal. Especially the Imam, jiske fiqh ko hum follow karte hain, maulana sahab, subhanallah. As followers, we should do that much, inshallah. We say shukran, maulana sahab, for joining us.
Ameen.
Shukran,
barakallah. Jazakallah for having me.
It was really an honor once again sharing your Madani Pearls with the viewers and myself. We really appreciate it, Mulana Sahib. We will be back with the same program, Treasures of Wisdom. Keep reciting salawat upon Rasul Akram, Nuri Mujassam, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sallu ala al Habib, Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad, Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam.
Treasures of Wisdom, Treasures of Wisdom, Treasures of Wisdom. Treasures of wisdom.